4:47, 7:30 WTNT, The Truth. It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. I'm joined now by Ben Wolfgang of the Washington Times. Been working on the whole Herman Cain story of the weekend. Of course, that was the big deal of the day on Saturday.
Sure was.
Were you surprised he used the word suspend?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, I think essentially everybody knows here that when he says I'm suspending my campaign, in truth, what he really means is I'm ending my campaign. I mean, I don't think there's much hope for him resurrecting it at this point. But yeah, I think some people were a little surprised that it would leave the door open maybe a crack by using the word suspended.
Yeah, the way I look at it is the way this race has gone with, you know, your flavor of the week, as they like to say.
Right.
We've seen, you know, the rise and fall of Rick Perry, of Michelle Bachmann. We've seen the rise of Newt Gingrich, you know, from nothing all the way through the ranks. Ron Paul also surging. Rick Santorum still remains down there along with John Huntsman. Their turn may be coming. Who knows? But, I mean, he almost could sit back and watch it and at some point let all of this die down and then reemerge. Now, I don't know if he's going to reemerge as, you know, a presidential candidate, but you could definitely see the guy coming back in some other capacity. At least that's what I get.
Certainly. Well, I mean, he made very clear Saturday that he intends to be a very influential voice throughout this whole process. And there's been some talk out there, some speculation that he'll come out with an endorsement in the next day or two of Newt Gingrich. I think most people, most political observers expect his endorsement to go to Newt Gingrich. And for what that's worth, I guess we're not really sure at this point, but Herman Cain certainly thinks it'll be worth something.
Yeah. Well, I know they appeared together in that Lincoln-Douglas style debate, and both really liked it, and they were both, you know, very well versed. They had a good evening together, and you sort of came away from that thinking these guys are pretty good friends now, and so it doesn't surprise me, wouldn't surprise me at all if he threw his weight behind Newt Gingrich. By the way, no comment from Cain's wife on any of this, right?
No, not yet.
But she was on stage.
She was on stage, stood behind him quietly the whole time.
Yeah. He's got lots of cash.
Herman Cain.
Yeah. Do we know what's going to happen with campaign money? Do we have any idea?
No, that's a very good question, actually. I would imagine that he'd probably just sit on it for now. I mean, as you mentioned, there's always the slim chance that he could reemerge and throw himself back into the race. Maybe he holds on to it and tries to run again in 4 years. We've seen candidates do that before. Ron Paul's kept some money from his last race in 2008. So maybe if Barack Obama were reelected, maybe Herman Cain can come back in 2016.
That's interesting. I didn't think of it in the long term, but you're right. As long as they don't use it for personal benefit,
it could just sit there in the bank for a long time. That's right.
Yeah. Switch to Gingrich here for a second. He's got to like his chances in Iowa.
He certainly does. I mean, as you mentioned a few minutes ago, you have Michelle Bachmann, Rick Perry, other candidates who have risen and fallen pretty quickly. Newt seems to be hitting it at the right time. He only has to survive a couple more weeks to make it through Iowa. And if he can come out on top, he's got very good chances to win in South Carolina, good chances to win in Florida. So as long as he can keep his ship afloat here for the next month or so, I think he definitely likes his chances. Ron Paul's nipping at his heels right now, but a lot of folks think that Ron Paul's support has kind of plateaued. He appeals to that libertarian wing of the Republican Party. Is there a chance for him to really move a little bit to more mainstream Republicans? A lot of people don't think so.
Yeah, 25% I saw in Iowa in the latest poll for Newt, 18% for Ron Paul. He was very quick to point out over the weekend that, hey, that's almost within the margin of error.
Right.
To me, that's a little bit of a stretch. In fact, I don't know if you caught this or not. Here, let me play this little piece.
Of course, it is very encouraging because we're getting pretty close to being within the margin of error. So I think we continue to do what we're doing. You know, we've had the flavors of the month up and down, you know, so far in this campaign. I'd like to think of myself as the flavor of the decade.
I don't know about that. Although, you know, now he slammed Gingrich really hard in that ad
last
week. 2.5 minutes worth.
Serial hypocrite, he called him. That's right.
I'm wondering how much of an impact that's having, if any.
That's a good question. I'm not really sure. What I find interesting about Ron Paul, he sort of seems to attack the people that he knows the best. I thought it was interesting when Rick Perry jumped into the race. He came out pretty hard after Perry because, of course, he knows him well, being the governor of Texas.
Right.
Now, having been in the House for a number of years, he obviously knows Mr. Gingrich very well. So it seems like the more Ron Paul knows about somebody, the more likely he is to become an attack dog on them.
Yeah. I'm going to turn your attention to another story. I know you've been covering the payroll tax cuts.
Mm-hmm.
What's the latest latest on that? Do we know?
I don't think there's been too much today. I mean, Harry Reid's supposed to come out with some sort of compromise plan. Of course, I don't think a lot of Republicans are really holding their breath. I mean,
yeah.
It seems like when Democrats come out with anything they call a compromise, it tends to involve higher taxes on somebody, most likely on the rich. So I think the Democrats, most people expect them to just sort of dress up their old proposal in some sort of new clothing and try and push it through.
You know what I find very funny about all of this is the Democrats are using this as a means to say Republicans want higher taxes, when indeed that really isn't the case. In fact, all they want to do, if anything, would be reestablish what was already there tax-wise. It's not really a raise in taxes. They'd be getting away from the tax cuts of the Bush administration. So we'd be getting back to a level we were very much accustomed to.
Right.
But even that, I think, would be a temporary thing. I think that they're definitely going to try to work something out. But boy, when you're coming up in the heat of battle.
Oh, yeah.
Less than a year out.
It's another game of chicken between the two parties.
It is.
The Democrats look at it, well, the Republicans raise tax on the middle class. Republicans look at it the same way. But in reality, if you're the average person out there, you're going to blame both parties if you pay $1,000 in taxes more next year.
Yep, that's for sure. All right, Ben, great to talk to you again. We'll do it again. What are you working on? Something special?
Talking to Pearl Harbor survivors, actually.
Are you really?
For the 70th anniversary on Wednesday, yeah.
It's coming up, yeah.
Yeah, we tracked a couple of them down here in the D.C. area, and they're sharing their stories with us. Very striking stuff.
Yeah. Man, I imagine. I can't wait for that. That's great. Thank you, Ben.
Hey, take care.
See you. Ben Wolfgang of the Washington Times.